The Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus taught, he said, "Beware of the scribes who like to walk around in long robes and to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces, and who have the best seats in the synagogues and places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for the sake of appearances say long prayers. They will receive the greater condemnation." He sat down opposite the treasury and watched the crowd putting money into the treasury. Many rich people put in large sums. A poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which are worth a penny. Then he called his disciples and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all those who are contributing to the treasury, for all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had, all she had to live on." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, today is Commitment Sunday, the day that we bring forward our gifts and our pledges for our mission in 2019. Over the last 3 weeks, we have considered several dimensions of personal wellness. We've explored what it means to be a new creation in baptism. We named concrete practices that nurture spiritual well-being. And we reflected on the power of money. There are five other dimensions of personal wellness that are worth exploring, and I encourage you to continue doing so prayerfully with the Wholeness Wheel Bible study, which is located outside the main office. Stewardship is not a season. Stewardship is about relating to God's mission with all that we have and all that we are. As we prepare to bring our pledges forward for 2019, I invite you to consider what we can learn about financial well-being and justice from the scribes and from the widow. God's concern for widows has been well established since the days of Moses. Even as the last peals of God's thunderous voice echoed across the wilderness, God taught Moses, saying, "You shall not abuse any widow or orphan. If you abuse them, when they cry out to me, I will surely heed their cry. My wrath will burn, and I will kill you with the sword, and your wives will become widows and your children orphans." God has always taken the treatment of widows very seriously. And Jesus' criticism of the scribes had potential to create a serious scandal. Scribes were supposed to be upstanding citizens, leaders who knew the law of Moses intimately and applied it judiciously. However, these gluttonous leaders were financially unwell. Money is power, and they loved power more than justice. They fraternized with the wealthy, sponging off their good fortune, while many of their neighbors, most of their neighbors in fact, were living at or below the poverty level. And with one bite, they devoured fine foods along with widows' houses, and their pious performances were nothing more than smokescreens for their own transgressions. Jesus essentially accused these unwell scribes of malpractice. As experts in the law, they should have known that the most important commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and with all your strength. They should have known that the next most important commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. Yet they loved praise more than faithfulness. They loved respect and power more than justice. Power casts a long shadow, and we often overlook those who live in the darkness. Like the scribes, We see what we want to see, and what we want to see does not dwell in the shadow. The Me Too movement was born out of this struggle between light and shadow, between what we want to see and what we would rather ignore. Respected and influential men across the nation have been deposed by the voices of those who live in their shadows. Victims have broken through the barriers of shame and fear to end the charades and clear the smoke screens. Sometimes justice is served, and sometimes everything backfires, leaving the vulnerable at the mercy of those who are deceived by success and by beauty. As one humanity born of God, we are meant to love and to trust God above all else. As one humanity created in God's image, we are meant to embody love, respect, and justice. But the human heart is weak. It abandons God to chase after anything that promises to magnify our personal power. When it begins to love itself more than others, it imagines that it is somehow more deserving of respect than its neighbors are. Eventually, the human heart forgets what it means to do justice, and it attempts to protect its newfound power at any cost. The voices calling from the shadows must be taken seriously if we still bear any resemblance to the image in which we were created. Otherwise, we are no better than the scribes or those who are deceived by their pious performances, and we too shall receive the greater condemnation. Now Mark pastes another story alongside the one of the scribes. This story is about a widow Jesus observes in the temple. As Jesus was sitting there, he saw a widow approaching the collection box. We don't know what her business was, but we do know that it was worth everything to her, down to the lint in her pocket. She dropped the only 2 coins that she had to her name, all that she had to live on, into the temple treasury. This act went unnoticed by virtually everyone around her. Everyone except Jesus. Jesus called his disciples over and said to them, "Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of those who are contributing to the treasury. For all of them have contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, has put in everything she had." Now it's frustrating that the story ends here. We want God to act. We want God to do something for this financially unwell widow who will go hungry tonight because she put all that she had to live on into the temple treasury. But perhaps God has acted for her well-being in what seems worthless and insignificant. This widow has been given the grace of being seen. Never underestimate the grace of being seen. In that moment, this financially unwell widow is no longer alone in her poverty. God takes notice of her when no one else does. And God draws our attention to her. Any 12-step program will tell you that the first step on the road to recovery is acknowledging the problem. God acknowledges the magnitude of this widow's sacrifice. God draws attention to her trouble as a woman living in the shadow of Roman power, temple power, and patriarchal power. God sees those we overlook, and God calls us to work for justice on their behalf. Jesus is our light in the darkness, the one who drives back the shadows of power by emptying himself of power on the cross. He died in the shadows as God with us, reconciling all who are deceived to the truth. Now he leads us back into the shadows to continue seeing and helping others, to continue listening to and helping others hear. As his followers, we do not listen to the deceiving voices which say everything is okay. We listen to the voices that are suppressed by fear and by shame, the same fear and shame that Jesus shouldered on the cross. We offer those who live in shadow the gift of being seen, and we strive for their financial well-being as well as ours, so that all may be well. Our financial wellness does not just affect us. It affects our neighbors, too. When we are well, our neighbors are well. When we are unwell, our neighbors suffer. So let our pledges and our offerings today stand as an act of humility before our God. As we release them into the offering plate, we place our personal power in service of the risen Christ. We proclaim justice in our letting go, and we proclaim Christ Lord of all through our generosity. In the end, financial being comes down to loving God with all that we have and loving our neighbors as ourselves. This begins with God's generosity to you and to me and to all who we are called to serve.